Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing? Sorry I missed you last week. I apologize. Super tired, super busy. No excuse. Every time I'm like, I won't do it again, and I do it again. I'm back. So I'm back, people. As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning into my podcast. I really appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody. Tell somebody to listen to me. I don't even care if they trash it. Actually, you know what? Them trashing it gets it more listened. So please tell somebody. Tell your super Republican friends that I'm like a liberal crybaby. You got to hear this dude crying so they can get on my Twitter and talk shit to me. Okay? That's the only way. You're going to get people to listen. Don't tell them it's great. Tell them, hey, this dude's just crying about Trump. And I'll get thousands upon thousands of listens. So, yeah, please do that. Oh, man. Go ahead and start off with my milestone. For those who know, I have a 4-year-old son. And every week I do a milestone. A M-Y-L-E-S. Tone. I don't even know if I spelled it right, but I don't give a shit. So he stayed with a friend Friday night during my show, and I guess they kind of like got into a little, you know, just playing around, and they kind of cut his eye just a little bit, you know, right on the side there, and nothing big at all. And this is what I figured out. I figured out that he is a psycho like me. The smallest thing is the biggest thing, and he's like freaking out. My eye is scratched. I mean, he keeps wanting us to put, almost said KY jelly, Vaseline on it. Every time he goes to the bathroom, he jumps up on his stool, he's looking at it, and he's like, you know, just patting it with his fingers, like, my eye is scratched. And it's just like, it's going to be fine. He's like, no, it's not. It's not going to be fine. I'm like, he got that shit from me. He's 4, and he's already freaking about the smallest thing on his body, so. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny. So I hope to God he grows out of that, because I've, for those who know, I go through these stages where like I diagnose myself with diseases. A while back, I told myself I had MS. I told myself I had multiple strokes, just all type of things, to the point where I had to go see a doctor, and he literally laughed at me, some African dude. And it's not a good, not a good place to be in mentally. When you just start diagnosing yourself with diseases and sicknesses, and you get on the internet and it's just like, yep, I got that. So hopefully he's not like that, but I see it in him. I got to get it out of him, you know, already. I got to make sure he doesn't start freaking out about the smallest things, just like dear old dad. I don't even know where to start. So much went on. Fuck it. Let's just start with the inaugural. It is now Trump's America, people. He officially took office on Friday, and a lot of upset, you know, white people. And I'm not saying black people aren't upset, but you know what? We're just used to the shit. You know, it's just like, whatever. It's just, I don't know. I think Obama's like the only dude we ever had we felt okay with. I think Clinton. I guess looking at the history books, I guess JFK, black people liked him, but I'm not really sure because I wasn't around. But other than that, it's always just been terrifying thing after terrifying thing when it comes to politics and politicians and laws and, you know, we're just used to it. So it's just like there's a racist in the White House. It's just like there's a racist on my money. I mean, we don't give a shit. So I personally don't think my life is going to change. And this will be funny because of the movie. It will be a cut scene, and then me in like nuclear fallout eating radiated beans out of a fucking can. And I got like 6 legs and a fourth eyeball. I said a fourth, like, well, I have 3. But I think we're going to be fine. I really do. And honestly, my bet is still out there. I still don't think this dude's going to last 2 years. I really don't. I mean, this guy is just, he's weaving the most tangled weave of all time. So it'll be, sooner or later, he's going to get caught up with some shit. So, I mean, he's already saying that he is definitely not releasing his tax returns. He's trying to get this pipeline going again. They're not even sure if he sold his shares in that Dakota Pipeline. So, I mean, it hasn't even been a week, and it's already just fucking, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. We had the Women's March on Saturday, where you just had millions upon millions of women all across the country, different cities, marching for, you know, women's rights and, you know, for their voice to be heard. And, you know, what's crazy about that whole thing is you have people on the right, and they're always talking about the Constitution and our God-given rights and the rights that are for, you know, just all the right to this, the right to that. And all they do, they're the first people to bitch and complain when people exercise those rights. Oh, these people are stupid. What the fuck are they doing? They're not going to change anything. This is so dumb. You just need to respect what it is, what it is. It's over with. And I'm like, where were you people 7, 8 years ago? You know? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. You know, where were you at the last two presidential terms? Now, all of a sudden, you want to share memes of, why do you want the president to fail? That's like wanting your pilot to fail on a plane we're all on. Where was all this togetherness then? You know, all this, give them a shot. Now, you're upset people are making fun of Barron Trump. And me personally, I don't fuck with people's kids. They say this kid might be autistic or have some type of, you know, mental disability or something. And that's sad. But all of a sudden, they want you to show this family so much respect. And when they found out what Obama's daughter was going to Ivy League school, they were calling her a monkey and get the fuck out the country. I mean, yeah, I didn't hear any of my, you know, these staunch Republican friends stepping up and going, hey, you know, let's show some respect. You know, it's a kid. None of that. None of it at all. None of it. It's just now all of a sudden their guy is in and the government is just fine. But literally a week ago, it was the worst fucking thing ever. It was so oppressive. But now that their dude is in and hasn't done anything, now it's okay. Everything's fine now. You can trust the government again. Makes no sense. I don't get it. We could be so hypocritical. That's what bothers me about the whole, just ridiculing people for exercising their rights. And I get it. You're not going to agree with everybody, you know, for the reasons why they march or the, you know, the things they support. You're not going to agree with it. But it seems like all we're doing is slowly, whenever the other side takes control, they pass laws taking away the rights that the other side wants. You know, whether it's guns or you know, gay marriage, transgender rights. It's just like we slowly just take away the rights of the people on the other side. And then before you know it, we're not going to have anything because we're doing this shitty thing to each other where we're just trying to just hold each other back. Well, if they're going to say this, then we're not going to allow that. Well, I don't want gay people to get married. Well, we're going to fucking take these guns. Well, we don't want y'all to, you know, to try to push your religious agenda on us, so we're going to do this. It's ridiculous. It's just like we're slowly just trying to just take rights away from each other to spite each other. And like I said, before you know it, there's going to be nothing left. You're going to be like, what the fuck happened? It's like, well, nobody respected each other at all. Just agreed to disagree. Everybody just wants to be right all the time. Then you got this... The first time the press secretary hits the podium, this motherfucker is disputing the size of a crowd that you can clearly see. There's pictures. Now, honestly, some of the pictures, I'm like, I don't even know if that was, you know, you're showing pictures from Obama's inauguration, then you're showing stuff from Trump. It's like, well, those taken at the same time. I mean, because the Trump thing could have been taken first thing in the morning where, yeah, there's nobody there. And then you show a picture of the height, you know, when it's the most crowded at Obama's. If that's the case, that's not fair. But definitely didn't have the turnout that Obama did. But it's just like, why are you disputing that? This is the biggest turnout, period, ever. It's like, it's not. And then Kellyanne Conway gets on TV talking about, well, we gave alternate facts. No such thing as fucking alternate facts. Alternative facts. There you go. Alternative facts. That's, I mean, you can give a counterpoint that could be a fact, but alternative facts, not even a thing. And people are fine with that. This dude just came out today and said that he believed that millions of people still voted illegally. It's just like, you won. Why would a winner think, why would a someone who won something go, I think somebody cheated? That's so fucking stupid. So I think somebody cheated, man. Well, why would the loser cheat, sir? Makes no sense. So many complaints about the Women's March. So many complaints. Like, now I hear a lot of white guys saying, hey, you know, it's not fair. You know, a white straight male is just seen as a slur. I mean, so is black man. Now you know how it feels. And I'm not saying that's okay. And this is another thing that bothers me about this whole, you know, the straight white male. I get it. You feel like you can't say anything anymore. You feel like all of a sudden you're automatically wrong. You're automatically homophobic. You're automatically racist. But guess what? Where were the most of you when you had people of color going, hey, I'm being treated a certain way? Where were most of you at? Well, hell, maybe if you didn't wear your pants like this, or your hair is like that, well, you know, you look scary. Maybe if you change this, or you didn't have this name. It's always excuses. Well, if you just would have did this, that, and the third, maybe people wouldn't think that of you. They want everybody else to get in line to make them feel comfortable. But honestly, that's the last thing a white dude wants to do, is conform to anybody else's standards to make someone else feel comfortable. But you expect that of other people. And unfortunately, when you don't show empathy of other people, when you're being accused of things and stereotyped, and you go, when you cry out, hey, this isn't fair, guess what? It makes people not listen to you, because you never listen to anybody else. And I also hear this excuse like, well, if you know how it feels, then why would you do it? I hate that shit. That bothers me. It's just like, well, we did it, but if you don't like it, then you shouldn't do it to me. It's just like, how can you expect people to even listen to you when you say shit like that? I hate that. It's like you're giving yourself a pass for being a dick, for being, you know, racist or misogynist. It's not fair. And then people are like, well, women here have it good compared to the other women in other countries. We don't live in other countries. This is where we live. We need to stop trying to fucking compare what it's like somewhere else. This is where we live at. It's always a spin about how it's not as bad as somewhere else. That's, I don't know. We're just not going to get anywhere. It's just, like I said before on this podcast, lack of respect and a lack of empathy. When you, for decades, and I'm not saying you particularly, but motherfuckers that look just like you, never showed people who look like me empathy. When the tables are turned on you, and now you're the one being treated like shit, and you want people to see things from where you're coming from, your point of view, and they don't, you get upset. You got to ask yourself, why? Now you see what it's like to not have a voice, or to be stereotyped, or just to be shat on for no reason, to get lumped in. Now just imagine that feeling that you feel now, and then you're not able to get a job or certain types of jobs, or people feel physically threatened by you, you know, and they preemptively act. They call the police on you, and those cops show up, and they have a preconceived notion about you. It's not even really violence being done against your bodies. So you can't even take the name calling. And I'm not saying it's fair. It's not. But unfortunately, this is what happens when you ignore other people. When it becomes your turn, no one wants to listen to you. And it sucks if you're not one of those people. But it's just, you see how it feels. And you would think right about now, white dudes and black dudes would go, hey, you know what? I know how that feels. This is what I've been going through my entire life, and it sucks. And white dudes could go, you know what? Holy shit. I didn't know what that felt like. Now I see why it sucks. Maybe I was a little, a little biased, a little prejudiced. I thought it was, just complaining. But now you see what it's like, and you can kind of come together on that common ground where you know what it's like to be stereotyped and thought of and seen a certain way when you haven't done anything wrong at all. But hey, no, that's just not the case. It seems like the wedge is getting just driven further and further, unfortunately, and I just don't see much change. So in a big way, but I think there will be some. I can't be too grim. I think there will be some, but oh man, sorry about that long rant about that shit. But this is something that's been bothering me. So again, I've said this before. I think this is like a common thread or theme on my podcast. It's like, just try to be empathetic. And I know some people will probably listen to this and go, well, you're not being empathetic. I'm just telling you how I feel and how I see it. I'm not saying I don't empathize. I'm just saying how people feel and how people look at it. I get it. And I try not to stereotype white dudes, because I without a lot of white dudes' help, I wouldn't be where I am in my comedy career. So I can't say all white men are racist or evil or they just don't want to help black people, because that's not the case at all. So, but also that Friday, I have my headlining show here in Charlottesville, and it turned out to be an amazing show. I was a little nervous. I got a text from Danny earlier. Was it Danny? No, it was George Gilliam, GG, the GM over at the Southern. He goes, hey, we got like 42 pre-sold tickets. And I wanted to go, oh, that's pretty good. And I was just like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Because I wasn't sure if that was a good number or not. And he goes, hey, that's a good number. And I'm like, cool. That sounds great. And he goes, hey, I heard you got a lot of other people coming. If they all show up, this thing might sell out. The show started at 8:30. I get there around 7:45. There's a couple people in there. The doors to the actual showroom haven't opened yet. And there might be like, man, let's see, like 1, 5. It might be 8 or 9 people there. But again, the show doesn't start for 45 minutes. And I'm like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Go back, talk to Gigi. Winston, Page, Ken shows up. Oh yeah, my sister flew in. I almost forgot. She flew in. She surprised me Thursday. I was going to DC, and I heard my wife come home, and I come downstairs and my sister jumps out. So she surprised me. I almost started crying. I was really moved and excited that she was here. Her and her husband Eddie came to support, and that was dope. So that was, and I felt horrible because I didn't know she was coming, but I had to leave like right after they got home because I had a couple shows to do in DC, and that was fun. Get to ride the Metro. And that was the day before the inauguration. And we got up there, there was a bunch of dudes wearing their Make America Great Again hats, just, you know, walking around with their chest all puffed out. You can tell some of those dudes wanted some shit to happen, or they wanted somebody to say something. But we just acted like we didn't even see it. It's like, people really don't give a fuck. So stop trying to act tough. And you had a whole bunch of people downtown D.C. walking around fucking full camo overalls. You can tell half these people hadn't even seen a 5-story building in their entire life. They're trying to use the Metro. It was hilarious. But I digress. So it's about 8 o'clock. The doors are opening up. My wife shows up. My sister's there. My boy TJ finally shows up. He's a late add to the show. His mom shows up. A bunch of friends show up. And people are slowly filing in into the room. And I'm like, you know, this is going to be okay. I was just like, if I can at least fill 70% of the seats, I'll feel great. So it's just like 8:10, 8:15. It's starting to get more and more packed. And next thing you know, it's like 8:20. And there's like 2 seats left. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. I go back out to the bar area just to see if we can get started here, to get started on time. And there's literally a line out the door. there's a 10 or 15 person line at the bar. I'm like, this is insane. I don't know where these people are going to go. I don't know where they're going to sit. So I go find Gigi. I'm like, we need more seats. They're pulling out seats. They ran out of chairs. So, I mean, we ended up starting probably close to like 8:45. I mean, there's still people coming in. There's still a line at the door. There's still a line at the bar. So everybody finally packs in. And, I mean, people are sitting. They're sitting around the pillar on this ledge. They're sitting on the ledges around the sides. They're sitting on the floor. They're sitting on the steps. I mean, they actually had to open up the back double door so people in the bar area could see the show. So all in all, the show oversold. It was a lot of fun. I knew it was going to be a good night because I remember a couple of days before, I'm like, I want to listen to nothing but Childish Gambino before the show. I want Bino playing all night before the show. I get in there, and what's playing? Boom, Bino. I'm like, this is going to be good. I didn't know crowd-wise it was going to be that good, but I was like, it's going to be a good night. So I'm like, all right, we'll start the show soon. And so we're all back there. It's me, Paige, Winston, Ken, my boy Martinez showed up. Tristan Williams, he was there taking pictures, so that was dope. He's a phenomenal photographer. If you live here in Charlottesville and you need any photos, talk to Tristan Williams. He's really, really talented. So yeah, it's oversold. It's a packed room. Ken goes up. He's doing his thing. He was nervous. He didn't want to do any Trump stuff up front. He's doing his puns. It's going okay. And then, boom, I'm like, just do some Trump stuff. And he goes into his Trump stuff, and they really get going. He gets a real big pop, comes off stage. He brings up Paige, boom, he goes up, gets them going. TJ goes up. He kills, has a great set. I mean, each set is just like the room is getting hotter and hotter. Winston goes up. He kills. I go up. I have a pretty good set. I mean, they really set me up, man. I got heckled right off the bat. I fucked with some guy who had on black dress shoes and white socks. That was fun. You know, did some crowd work. I did a couple new jokes. I got serious at times. I think I lost him a little bit here and there, but I would get him back. But all in all, it was a fun set, and had a great time. So shout out to everybody that came. My wife, thank you so much. Danielle, Eddie, Juliet, and Hot Bobby, they always come to shows. Dave Cantor over at the Daily Progress. Droz, I want to thank George Gilliam, Danny Shea, Caitlin Leary, the whole team over there at the Southern Man. They were extremely excited. The bar made a killing. I made decent money, and we hung out after the show for a while. And then this happened. I'm walking to TJ's car. We're getting ready to go home. And who do we bump into? Peyton Manning. That's right, people. The first... I'm fucking this up. I fucked up his intro. What is it? What do you call it? The first ballot? What do you call those people? I just killed my momentum. That's how good I am. First ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know why I just drew a blank on that. First ballot Hall of Famer. Super Bowl winner. I think two or three Super Bowls. Two Super Bowls. Peyton Manning. 6'6". Looks great in the suit. Not as weird looking in person. That was cool. We took a picture. I guess his wife went to UVA. He was here doing some bullshit charity thing. I don't know. But that was dope. So yeah, man. The show went well. They were talking about doing it 3 or 4 times a year. I'm like, that's just too much. Maybe I'll do it again next year. If I do it again, I want a whole new hour of stuff, or at least 45 minutes of stuff. But I really appreciate everybody coming out. The whole team over at ACAC, when I had my shoulder surgery, they were there. I mean, just so many people came out and showed me some love, man. It was really humbling. I really appreciate it. People at the barbershop came out. It was a mixed crowd. And that's something I always wanted, man. I would watch Dave Chappelle perform when I was a younger dude. And I'm like, that's the kind of crowd I want. I don't want an all-white crowd. I don't want an all-black crowd. I want a mixed crowd. And that's exactly what it was, and it was a magical night. I had a lot of fun, so shout out to all the guys on the show. Thank you to everyone that came, that bought a ticket, my sister for flying all the way from Rochester. I appreciate it. So, yep, so there's the show. That's the show. Follow me on social media, at Chris Allen Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. Oh, and check out Tuesdays with Stories. The latest episode is called Weeking Out. About 40 minutes in is when they talk about the whole Louis thing when he came to Big Hunt. If you want to hear those guys talk about it. But yes, the latest episode, Tuesdays with Stories, is called Wigging Out, 40 minutes in. They talk about it. So that was a special, special night there in D.C. And I had my own special night here in Charlottesville a week later. My first headlining gig, it went great. And I met a Hall of Famer. That was awesome. So there's the show. That's the show. Peace out, everybody.